In the seventh chapter that we have been studying, the main idea is to turn the mind towards the God who is the reality, the truth. And that turning the mind is, we saw why it is so important. It is, turning the brain is certainly good, necessary, but not enough. Turning the mind, that is our emotions and feeling, towards this ultimate goal or God is very important, much more important, because our life gets governed by that to a great extent. And how is it accomplished? Not by just making an emotional appeal, because the emotional appeal, it may have an effect for a little while, like the political speeches or some such thing that excites a person for a little while, but then that cannot have a very lasting effect. And therefore, the way that the emotions are turned, as it is done in Bhagavad Gita, is from a very different perspective, from a very different angle. And what is it? It is by showing that Lord is the substance, the substratum, the essential thing in all that your mind goes to. Your mind goes to this, mind goes to that. But if you see what is there that is truly attracting your mind, you will see that that was God. And therefore, when we know that the essence of all our attractions is really God, then the mind will turn to God. So, that is what is being done here. It is shown that, look, in the whole universe, it is nothing but I alone am. I here is, of course, Lord Krishna, the not a personal little I, but the I. That is the I in everyone. So, that I is in everything, that is the essence of everything, and all that we see is produced out of it, manufactured out of it. In this, like the pots are manufactured out of clay, the clay pots, I mean, then it is just clay with shapes, and then with a shape you associate a name. And a function too. So, all these are essentially God with a form and a name and a function. And what is the essence of all this is God alone. So, it is told that whatever we perceive here, and the analysis was very beautiful, that what we saw, that the two aspects that we see in this world, the material aspect and the conscious aspect, like we have, for example, what is Yogatmananda, so you can say a particular form, a particular shape. There is matter, the bones, the blood and all that. And yet there is something beyond that that gives it an identity in the midst of all the changes. The shape changes. I wasn't like this when I was, say, 1 year old. The shape was certainly different. I had a different name to the matter was different. So, all these are the changing aspects But I gave examples without any, doubt, that the one who was 1 year old, that is still there, something that is that has not undergone change at all. So that is what gives everything its identity. And that is something that all our life depends upon. We can never specify it really. Where it lies, it is not possible to specify. And yet we know that it is. If we lose sight of it, our life will become, practical day-to-day life will become just impossible. I gave many such examples that suppose you have an appointment after 1 month with, say, a doctor, and you go there, the doctor says, yes, you have an appointment with me. Yes, a year ago, my office gave you this date and this time, and thank you for coming. Now, in 1 month, the material aspect has changed. Everything has changed. And what then has remained the same? How the person knows that the one who made the appointment has gone there? So, in the midst of all these changes, there is something that constitutes an unchanging identity of that person. And that survives the changes. That somehow, we do not know how, but it does survive all the changes. Even after many years, the person says that this is the same place I had come to. So much of change in the city of Providence. As a child, I lived in Providence 50 years ago. And then now, all has changed. But yet, something has not changed. What has not changed? So that essence is also God. That which changes is the lower nature of God, apara prakriti, that is the word used here, and para prakriti, that which gives it its identity. This is the higher nature, lower nature and higher nature. And both God, it is all nature of God. All is God. One is God's lower nature, another is God's higher nature. A little technical point here, that both of these are really the manifestation of God is a departure from what is called the Sankhya philosophy. The Sankhya philosophy, it says that there are two independent principles, the consciousness, that is Purusha, and the material or matter, that is called the Prakriti. So Purusha and Prakriti, they together constitute this whole universe. But Vedanta doesn't agree with that completely. It says this Purusha and Prakriti, they have existence only as manifestation of the divine principle. It is from that one divine, this everything has come. Sankhya does not accept this idea of the underlying oneness of the self, which Vedanta emphasizes. But this is a minor technical point. What is actually told here, for us to feel that everything that constitutes I and world, our perception, is nothing but God. And after this seventh verse further illustrates it very beautifully, that matta paratram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mayi sarvam idam prutam sutre manigana iva. Higher than myself, there is nothing else, O Dhananjaya, the Arjuna. In me, all this is strung like gems in a string. All, you see, in a garland or in a necklace, there is a string, and then the beads are strung in that. Precious stones or beads, money, means that the pearls are strung in the string. So, all this you can see as the pearls, all the different manifestations. Each of us can be looked upon as a pearl. And each manifestation, each name and form is strung in this thread of divine that connects it. And that makes it, this universe, connected. And that is how we can connect to each other. And the pearls, if they don't have any connecting link, then there won't be any connection between them. But we see in this world a connection. We know things, means at some plane we get connected. We get related. We have this connection with everything in the universe. And what is the connecting link? This explains our desires. The A has a desire for something B. That means there is a connection. And what is the connecting link? We have love. Person A has love for person B. That shows a connection. What is the connecting link? We communicate. How can we communicate unless there is a connection? When we are talking on cell phone, suddenly sometimes we lose that speech. And then we say the connection is gone, that there was no connection. So, without connection, communication is not possible. Our relationships are not possible with anything or anybody. And what makes things connected? Lord says that I am the only connection. We feel that, well, I am related to this person. He is my friend, such a close friend. And then suddenly, sometimes it appears that there is no relation. Or it is broken. The love is not there anymore. What happens there? The problem was that the two things as such were never connected, never related, never having any love. The love was because of the God that was strung through that. That is the thread that goes through everything that we see. And the aspect that is mentioned here or illustrated here is the functionality of the universe. Sometimes that reality of the universe comes to us through the functions and the organization in it, the connectedness in it. Well, we feel that, well, the names and forms are changing, no doubt. But unless they are real, how do I feel love for that? How do I get attracted to those things? And what makes the things such a good organization? Look, everything functions so methodically. The sun, the moon, the stars, they go on their courses so well. the seasons correspondingly change. Sometimes we have some aberrations that in the days in summer, sometimes it is very cool. And in the winter also, one or two days come when there is a little more warmth than usual. But yet, on the whole, you see that we expect cold weather in December and rather warm weather in July. As our Sarvagatananji used to put about in this weather in New England, continuously changing. You cannot say anything fixed about it. Only two things, he used to say, only two things could be told firmly, that the temperature is never 100 on 1st of January and never 0 on 1st of July. In between, all changes can happen. So, we see a kind of organization in everything, that things move in an organized way. It is our life also is therefore looks organized. Things dial the number and that person to whom we dial, that person picks up it. There is a connection. There is an organization. Everything seems so well set. And if it is unreal, how can it happen? Lord says that organization also is I. I am the thread that strings all these things together. If that thread is removed, all pearls will just get scattered. The connection will be lost. So there are many interpretations about of this verse, especially. This sometimes is hotly debated whether it is this verse, whether can it be interpreted in a non-dual way, or it shows a clear this expression that it is all duality, like the pearls and the string. God says that I am the string and these are the pearls, means this we have a separate existence apart from God, and God is the string that is woven in it. Well, these technical discussions really need not interest us too much. It really, they stretching the analogy beyond its intended meaning. The intended meaning is just to bring our mind that we have to see the first line to understand the analogy, that nothing is superior in this world than me. The purpose is to bring the mind to God. Our mind goes to whatever is superior, the best. Automatically the mind goes to the best. Whatever is best, I want that. In fact, because we consider it best, we want it. That the tendency to the of the mind towards the best, that is being trained here to follow the course of God. It is really a very top class psychology. It is in this whole few chapters to come, you can see how the mind is to be given a training to see that, look, the tendency, each of us has that. Whatever is best, we seek that. And we always feel a little bit depressed. That because I didn't have enough money, enough means, within my limits, this is the best I could do. But yeah, had I had more money, had I had more means, maybe I could have got something better than this. But the search for the best is there in us, the desire for the best, that is being trained here. God is the best, and nothing is superior to God. So if you want to seek best, They best is Lord. We see this in us all the time, that do we not feel that I am superior, that sense we have. We had that Sunday lecture about daydreaming. In our daydream, we become the supreme, that each of us, why so? Because I really am supreme. There is nothing superior to me. And that is the source of that. By mistake I superimpose that supremacy on this body and mind, which is changing, which has no really any status, and certainly it is not supreme. And therefore this confusion takes place, that, oh, I should be supreme, I should be this day, ever victorious hero. But it doesn't happen. Even with the great achievers, they have that problem. There is somebody always who is superior to them, the conqueror of them. So it is like that. But where is the superiority or this our being supreme? In the self. There nothing is superior to it. And that real self is this real self of everyone. And therefore, what socially is maybe considered to be very low, a penniless beggar has the same right to feel supreme as an emperor. An emperor is also very inferior if you look at the body and mind. It is continuously changing, subject to death, subject to birth. From that standpoint, an emperor is also inferior. A beggar also, by the appearance, is no good. But the appearances, if you abstract them, if you go beyond them, then each is the best, the supreme. And that is what Lord wants us to understand. And that should reflect on us too. That it should remind us that in our true nature, we are supreme. That should be a self-confidence booster. That maybe I am not physically as strong as that other man. But what of that? I have the same divinity. That person may be physically strong. An elephant is stronger than that. What does it mean? It doesn't have much value. The real thing is that the true self, immutable, unborn, the source of everything, that is the supreme. So everything else is woven in it. And that is why, because of that, everything else gets a value. Otherwise, it doesn't have any value. All this gets value. Because God is there, because of the play of God, because of the thread that is woven, each of these pearls get their value. Otherwise, it has no worth, as Sri Ramakrishna used to say, 1 zero, 2 zeros, 3 zeros, 10 zeros, they are zeros. They don't have any value. If I ask Professor Matthew, do you want $1, he says, no thanks for me. 10 zeros, dollars, no, keep it with you. I don't need that. But if I put one before that, then 1 zero makes it 10. And 10 zeros, how much it will make, I don't know. But he will say, Swami, put as many zeros as you can and give me. But first put the one. Don't forget to put that. So this Lord is the one, because of which all these zeros get some value. Without that, it is all zero. So, if our life has to have any value, we have to put that God, Supreme. That is the Supreme Principle. So, this is the idea. This is the way that Lord is trying to tell us that that is the supreme thing in life. Beyond that, there is nothing superior. So, it is, everything is to be seen as interwoven with God. Feel that God is my reality. And God is the my true nature. God is my essence. And that feeling is to be cultivated and strengthened. The stronger this feeling becomes, we can see it has a very positive impact on our life. The life changes accordingly. And see, our behavior depends on our awareness of who I am and what this world is. That dictates our behavior. I feel that I am this body, I am a little man or woman, and then my life takes corresponding shape, depending on that awareness. When my awareness changes that I am essentially divine and everything is also essentially divine, the life gets correspondingly transformed. And this, each of us can actually experience this transformation. This is not, as we always mention, not a theory to be just discussed and to be accepted intellectually. But it is something that one can experience. It is a practical science. So, training our mind in this fashion will bring this very healthy, very desirable change in our life. And Lord gives them now the examples to illustrate this idea that how Lord is the supermost, the most important or the supreme thing in every expression that we have. What is it? The about 4 or 5 verses after this that illustrates that. Rasoham apstu Kaunteya prabhasme shashi suryayoho pranavas sarvavedeshu shabdakhe paurusham rishu. I am, O son of Kunti, sapidity in water, luster in the moon and the sun, the syllable Om in all the Vedas, sound in ether, and enterprise in man. That all the important things that we see that forms the essence of anything. And that is being told here, that sapidity in water, because of which our thirst is quenched. That is the essence of water. That quality is the essence of water, because of which water gets value. It gets its importance. Our search for water is because of that important quality that water possesses. So, Lord says, I am that quality in water that makes water valuable. And therefore, know that I am that quality that makes water an important thing. Similarly, luster in the moon and the sun. And everything that shines, that luster is, Lord says, I am that luster. It is, that is what is the sun and moon and all shining objects. The important thing about is that the luster. So, the luster in them is, Lord says, I am that luster. Then, Om Pranavaha Sarva Vedeshu, all the scriptures, the Vedas, they culminate or condensed in this sound Om. In Om, all that is condensed as the message of freedom. In Om, that Om signifies that Sri Ramakrishna, as one reads in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, was telling one that, look, all Vedas, they culminate into Gayatri. A very important mantra that inspires, guides a person towards the ultimate shining goal of life. That is the essence of that great Gayatri mantra. So all scriptures are meant to motivate us towards that goal. So he says, all the Vedas, they condense into Gayatri. That is the essence of that great mantra, and which has the potential to inspire everyone, to bring out that hidden divinity in everyone and make it manifest in every life, every walk of life. That is the Gayatri. So, Vedas, they culminate into Gayatri, and Gayatri further culminates in just Om, and which is the condensation of the whole existence. That whole existence is contained in this mystic sound. I don't want to go into the details of why this Om is important. We will have occasions to discuss that later also. The idea is this primordial sound from which everything comes. That sound, Om, that is the sum substratum of everything. So, Lord says here that in the whole Vedas, therefore, I am the Om, the most important essence, culmination, the sum and substance of Vedas, that is what I am, Om. Shabda Khe, it is, Kha means the ether or the space, translated differently in English. It is one of the elements, the primary elements from which this universe is made. And what is this element? That in everything, that element which has the property of sound. As I mentioned a few times before, that this system of elements in Upanishads is based on our experience. That this world has five elements because we experience the world through these five senses. That is our world. We experience this world. What is the proof that the world exists? Because we experience it. Okay, so analyze your experience. You experience means you hear, you touch, you see, you taste, and you smell. That is the experience, is it not? All that you experience is this. And so the world is made, our universe is made of these five elements. Suppose we are discussing the universe of some other creature who has only two senses, then the world will have only two elements. If somebody has 25 senses, then the world will have 25 elements. We human beings are somehow made with only five sense organs, so our world can have only five elements. And the first of these is the akasha, or the space or ether. So, and what is the quality that it represents? Sound. It is a beautiful science. It is very explained in great details in Taittiriya Upanishad, and very philosophically presented for a novice to study in a book, Vedanta Sara, that how the details of that are. For example, this element of ether gets this split. This split in the consciousness, that is I and the world, is expressed then in every element. So, at every level you see this primary fissure, that this ether gets broken. One part of it becomes the ear, the instrument of hearing. The other part becomes the sound. What a beautiful idea. Therefore, the two fit into each other. Like if you tear a paper, the angularities of those two pieces will fit perfectly into each other. So, similarly, this ether torn, one part becomes the hearing instrument, the other part becomes the sound. So, they fit into each other. Otherwise, they don't fit. If you say somebody is playing a very beautiful, say, guitar, but you have to have the ear to feel that beauty. The sense of hearing, if it is not there or not properly cultivated, you won't feel the beauty of that music. It is like that. If something is a nicely cooked delicacy, a very nice preparation, this cake is very nice, but you won't feel that that deliciousness of the cake if you put it in the ear. It has to correspond to that sense, where it can match, where it can go together. So, therefore, these different elements are described like that. And so, Lord says, in this space, the why space is told here for now, because it is, they considered the first element. The first was formed space. Because without space, there is, how can you create? To create anything, you first need space. So, without space, how can you create anything? You need room to keep it, is it not? So, when everything was just the one's all-pervading self, there is absolutely no room for creation. Creation cannot come there. So, first, therefore, that universal self gets contracted in a point. It is contracted in a point. Therefore, we feel I here. I is really everywhere. But in our consciousness, that contraction takes place. And so, I feel I is very tiny, small. Inside the body, inside the mind, somewhere, tiny something. And therefore, now there is immense space. Now you can do whatever creation you want to do, because now this space has become available. So, as Taittiriya Upanishad puts it, tasmādvā etasmād ātmanah ākāśas sambhūtah. That therefore from this self, through the contraction of it, this space has been created. Now, in that space, everything can come. So, akashad vayu, from this space came what is called vayu, the principle of air, or what it is, that which causes the touch, sensation of touch. So, from there, then the sense of sight, the principle called fire, and from that further, it's a beautiful science. Worth studying, very elevating study indeed. And you can see the psychological and experiential aspects of it as we study it. But we will not get into those details here. It is, what is mentioned here is that in this ether, I am the sense of sound. I am the sound principle, which is important aspect. That is why that element gets its name, ether. So, Paurusham Rishu, that in human beings, the special idea is that endeavor to have initiative. This enterprise, entrepreneurship, that is, we have that spirit, let me do this, let me make, then that is what actually is the cause of the progress of human race, as you see in comparison with other species. Other species, they have many great qualities which human beings don't have. But they do not have any conscious effort to change the circumstances around them and make their life go on improving and go on at different footings. Therefore, we see human beings also in many thousands and thousands of years ago were living in just caves, in the natural situation, like the monkeys were living, not much different. Now the monkeys still continue to live in the same situation as they were living thousands and thousands of years ago. But human beings, they build the skyscrapers, change all that, because there is this enterprise. And that is therefore the special feature of the human race. And the ants, they have very nice skills that human beings even now don't have, of making those nice homes. The ant homes and the organization that they have is marvelous. And also bees, how nicely they make their homes and their colonies, their social structure, all very good. I don't know whether if they have the election system in them or not, but without that, they have wonderful governance. The system is great. But yet they don't improve. They remain what they were a few thousand years back, and same as they are now. But human beings, in spite of many other drawbacks, other shortfalls, they are good on this side, that they have the spirit of enterprise. And that makes them different from others. So Lord says, that important thing in human beings, I am that. So Lord is important in all these. Then he explains the other element, the earth, its quality is smell. So the earth, punyo gandha prithivyam cha tejas chasmi vibhavasau jivanam sarvabhuteshu tapas chasmi tapasvishu. I am pure odor in earth, brightness in fire, life in all beings, and austerity in the ascetics. This is all that the essential thing that forms the core of that thing. Lord says, I am that core, the pure odor in the earth. The impurities and bad odor, Lord says, no, I am not that. He takes precaution to mention that punyogandha. So that bad odor, don't associate that with me. It is only the nice good smell that you like. I am that. Brightness in fire. Let me mention something more about that good smell and bad smell. Things are good or bad, pleasant or unpleasant, depending on how we are exposed to that. I am not exposed to eating fish, and especially that dry fish. So a smell that makes other people, many other friends of mine, their mouth starts watering, and I get a nauseatic sense. I want to, oh my goodness, let me run away from there. So, therefore, it is relative. What is good smell and what is not good smell is relative. As that story of Sri Ramakrishna used to tell, that some fisherwomen took shelter at night at some house, and that house belonged to a florist. And so there were all the flowers around, and he had arranged them a nice place to sleep. But they couldn't sleep the whole, they were just tossing from one side to another. Because that smell, that fragrance of flower, they could not sleep because of that. So one of them understood the problem and then went out, got their fish baskets, put their nose into that fish basket, and then they had a good sleep. They started snoring in no time. So this good smell and bad smell is not that a particular smell is bad. We may feel that dung smell is bad. But the worm in that dung, that likes that smell. It will leave the other things and get into that. So it is very relative. So every smell is really a nice smell for someone. And every smell is not a nice smell for someone. So, tejas chasmi vibhavaso, and that we discussed that all the stars, the shining bodies, I am the shine in them. All the things are alive. Well, who makes them alive? I am the principle of life in them. And I am the tapas in the ascetics. And what constitutes an ascetic? That ascetic performs austerities, and therefore that person gets called ascetic. If there are no austerities, then not an ascetic, an ordinary person. So, Lord says, I am the asceticism or the austerity in that ascetic. So, the idea is that Lord is the essence of everything. Whenever our mind goes to something, because of these qualities, let us feel that it is the God that is really making us go there. So, the attraction should be turned towards God. A few more verses will be pertaining to this. We shall look at them. On next Friday. Any questions? Okay, so we shall conclude. Since there is no question, we will have... So you read it while you are just... Okay. There is an e-question coming from the web. Can you read it? Here is a very good question. The question, let me repeat the question, whether I made the reference that the Gayatri, the Vedas are condensed into Gayatri, whether it means only Gayatri mantra or any other Ishta mantra, that is mantra given by the Guru to be repeated for our spiritual practice, does it mean that too? Well, yes, it can mean any mantra that constitutes the essence of your spiritual practice. Gayatri mantra explicitly says that, that idea, and it is in the Vedas. But your particular Ishta mantra, the mantra given to you by the Guru, may not be part in the formal literature called Veda. And therefore, it is not referred to directly here. But one can understand or extend the understanding to that too, that yes, the whole scriptures or the spiritual practice gets condensed into that advice given by the teacher, which is that mantra. That is true. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Timanyat Shastra Vistarai Yasvayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinesrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko mantrah tasya namani yane karma pyekam tasya devasya seva Shri Krishna arpanamastu.